Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. You enjoying the rain, Jeffrey?
Jeff, my house basically had like a dome on it for basically the entire summer. So just baking out my entire yard. I am very grateful that.
And you don't like rain because you don't like walking.
Correct.
You know,
this is when it gets tough walking your dog.
But it has been kind of nice. I mean, it was so dry for
correct.
So long that this is, yeah. It does feel like we need it, people. It feels like we need it. So I hope you're enjoying the rain. I hope you're enjoying the show this Thursday. So far, so good, it seems like. We got Right of the Night trivia on Thursdays. Jeffrey, what are we playing for today?
Jeff, we have a family pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair. 4 tickets to the Mid-South Fair at the Landers
Center. Now it's fall. Perfect time to go to the fair. You know. By the way, the other place it's raining? Bethpage Black.
Indeed it is, Jeff.
Or
it will be.
It
moved the opening ceremonies from today to yesterday.
Did you watch?
I did.
You watched?
Yeah.
And were you moved?
I wouldn't say I was moved. I was also annoyed because everyone that was on stage, the teleprompter that they had was below the stage. So everyone that was like trying to read was looking down the entire time, and it was very distracting.
You know, the one problem with the various problems, but it will be wild because it has been 90 years since we've had one in New York. It's rowdy anyway, but then you throw New York on top of it, right? And so it's been 90 years since we've had one in New York. The one thing I struggle with, it's like I like the fact that, you know, when it comes to the Memphis Tiger basketball team, our champion is Penny Hardaway because I like Penny Hardaway, right? I find him to be a compelling and
one of us,
and I like the fact that when I'm for the Buffalo Bills, that Josh Allen is my champion.
Yep,
you know what I mean.
Like, he's easy to root for.
Much easier. Now at the time, I didn't know much about O.J. Simpson. I didn't know the full nuances of O.J.'s life when I was rooting for O.J. But that was a little, in retrospect, feels a little uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, but also at the time, he was
O.J. running through airports.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So. But my point is that it's nice when your champion is someone who is likable.
Easy to root for.
Easy to root for.
Yep. Totally agree with you.
Our champion in this tilt, like, let's be honest, in the Rory Bryson matchup.
Yeah, but he's not our champion.
He's kind of our champion.
Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, I know. No, but that's fine. But one of the dudes we're going to have to be totally.
Oh, no, it's brutal.
It's tough.
Oh, yeah. And he has been.
I am so.
He's been cooking this week.
It's LIV versus PGA, and I'm Team PGA.
Correct, but they also have two LIVs.
They do have two LIVs.
They have more LIVs than we do.
They do have more LIVs. But the loudest, most prominent LIV, and the most, I don't know. I guess some people like Bryson, but it's very clear. I prefer Rory.
Now the only thing I'll say is, even as obviously the champion and rider number one of Team Rory, mm-hmm. the last 4 or 5 months have not exactly been like
spectacular. No, they haven't been his best. They've taken a little of shine off the Rory.
Yeah. I mean, if everyone wants to hold him not showing up in Memphis against him, by all means,
go ahead. That's true. That's true. He ditched Memphis.
Correct.
And he's done sort of a heel turn.
Yeah.
It makes it easier.
He's just been kind of whiny.
Yeah. Okay. That makes it easier. Yeah. Okay.
No, but I in general, the more likable players are on the European side. Like, who wants to root against Tommy Fleetwood?
That's a problem. This is the problem. Honestly, it's a problem with the country right now.
The people we have to choose are like,
for America.
Really?
I root for America, but sometimes I think,
anyone else?
I might be Team Canada in this one. You know, whatever. I might be Team Canada on this one. Don't mean to be sound quite so unpatriotic today. USA, USA, USA. Do we have the chant? Can we fire that up? There we go.
I want your take on this. So Aaliyah has the opinion that when it comes to us on the international stage, we only have one chant. And I told her that's like saying
thinks it's a problem.
Because, you know, with she's like, everyone else has fun things. Like the Europeans, they'll do like ole, ole, ole. Like they do more things, like they have songs and whatnot. But all we do is. And I told her, I was like, that's like complaining that Steph Curry only shoots threes. It's the single greatest chant any national team can have. France, 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 England, 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 Italy.
You think the fact that it's letters
rocks.
Makes it. Well, let me ask you that. What you're saying is a letter chant. So, you know, we have another example of this locally. SEC.
Correct.
People do chant SEC.
Correct.
SEC.
And it gets thrown back at them.
What?
And it gets thrown back at them.
Yeah. But
the USA chant doesn't get thrown back at us like the SEC chant gets thrown back at the SEC.
There are times the USA chant feels a little bombastic to me.
But when the red, white, and blue are playing on the international stage,
You know when it's best? It's best when we're underdogs, which is the rare. It was best with Herb Brooks and the gold medal hockey team.
Because then
we were the USA and we were underdogs.
Well,
you know,
like on the
and World War II, same thing. You know, like but we at least fashioned ourselves as underdogs.
Correct.
Should have been favorites.
When you start doing the math of
been favorites, but we weren't. I don't think we were favorites. You know. And so
Germany was overrated.
Wrong team
though.
Favored.
Correct. Exactly. In both world wars.
Yeah. But so it's the USA chant is its most endearing when we're plucky underdogs. And increasingly that's.
Well, to your point, the best USA chants, like when we're chanting USA and we're watching our NBA players.
Yeah.
Like whatever.
Come on, man.
But the first, what do we call the Frozen Four? What do we call the Four Nations? The Canada, the game.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good one. Nothing happened after that. It was just
anyway. It's raining. That's how we started on this little sojourn into a. That we did
gonna have to make some putts, Jeff.
Gonna have to make some putts, and of course, what's this gonna do to the course, Jeffrey?
Uh-huh.
It's already a bomber's course.
It will soften it up, which is not great for anyone playing Rory.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come on.
Ah, okay. DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We got right into the night trivia. We're giving them a 4 tickets family pack to the Mid-South Fair, so we'll do that in the second hour. We have lots to talk about today. Chris Harrington's going to join the show straight up at 10 o'clock. But I thought I'd start with, in fact, the piece that he wrote today, Jeffrey. Thank God we've arrived. You know, you get to this point where it's like football is here, right? Thank God the Grizzlies are here, you know? And you may not be ready for basketball, but I'm ready for the Grizzlies to return. It feels like, it's been a long time.
I'm ready for Zach Edey to return.
What's that?
I'm ready for Zach Edey.
I'm certainly ready for Zach Edey to return. So I don't know if you saw the story. I don't think you – I imagine this isn't a story you would have seen yet. So the question is, he did 8 storylines. They start camp next week, man. Media day is Monday.
Some teams are already doing their media days.
Zip over to Nashville and they do 3 days there or something, and then they come back and whatnot. So here I will ask you, what are the biggest storylines from Grizzlies camp? So I distinguish that a little bit from the Grizzlies season.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But I think they sort of one goes into another. Like, for example, if Jock is a storyline, we can have Jock be clearly a storyline for the season, but also. So what are the biggest storylines for camp? Let's do them one at a time. By the way, we'll see if any of these overlap. He has 8. Let's just pick out 5.
All right.
See if we can go 5.
So I think this is the biggest question I have, and you can tell me if you think I'm off base. What is the Isolo era look like?
Or, that
you
know is storyline number one.
Because, like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't really have time to do whatever he wanted. Like, what is his vision?
I do think, and in fact, literally, here you go. Great minds think alike. Harrington's first, you can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. Harrington's first storyline is the Tuomas Isolo era commencing, because whatever you thought, that was not a fair test,
right? I don't hold that against it.
There were very few practices. There were a bunch of games. The team was in free fall. I think for the general fan base, the jury is totally out one way or another. I think people are open to the idea that Isolo could be a tremendous hire, and people are open to the idea that he could be a disastrous hire. I don't think there is conviction about it either way. I think there was a little bit of shrug, like, really, that's what we're going to do? Didn't seem so impressive at the end of the season. But I think there was a real recognition that it was not at all a fair test. But there are some hires, honestly, I don't think the Jenkins hire came in with any particular optimism or pessimism either. It was just a blank slate.
Yep.
Right? Don't you think so? Whereas some, and by the way, it doesn't always work out, weirdly enough, if you look at the least successful hires in Grizzlies history. I think they were maybe the most ballyhooed.
Celebrated.
The most celebrated. And that would be Ivoroni and Fizdale. Ivoroni and Fizdale were both, we got the hot assistant. Look at this. Like, what is it, 10 seconds or less? 5 seconds or 7 seconds or less? What was the Suns?
7 seconds or
7
less.
7 seconds or less. We got that. Like, Ivoroni was absolutely the hot assistant. And Fizdale, I don't remember this, he was going to bring Heat culture.
Championship mentality.
Championship mentality, Heat culture to the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies, it turned out, resented the hell out of that notion that they needed David Fizdale to teach them how to win. So there's almost, it seems like there's almost, honestly, a negative correlation between how celebrated a hire has been in Memphis and how it has worked out. Hell, look at the GMs. Look at the GMs. Zach Kleiman, I would say not celebrated at all. What? You're going to give a 12-year-old the keys to the Jerry West? Totally celebrated. We got the logo. Let's have a parade. Who has been the better GM? Zach Kleiman.
Kleiman. I mean, we should also acknowledge Jerry did get us to some playoffs.
No. I'm not saying, like, I'm not. Jerry actually did the best thing he did was hire Hubie Brown.
Yeah.
Which was a stroke of genius. Like, no one but Jerry West would have hired Hubie Brown.
Yeah. And he gave Fratello, like, it didn't end great with Fratello, it was fine.
He did fine.
Yeah.
People who say the Jerry West era was a disaster, no. He took a team that had been woeful in Vancouver, came to Memphis and was woeful, and he made it respectable.
Correct.
And got the playoffs 3 straight
years.
But
there's no question Kleiman has...
But Kleiman, as a GM, has been more effective than Jerry West, I think. I think you have to say that. Just in terms of, particularly relative to how celebrated they were when they were hired. That's my point, is that there's almost no correlation between how celebrated something is and how it turns out. I don't think Issa Lowe has been celebrated at all.
No, I think...
People who like him best have spent time with him because they think he's smart.
I think most people are in the spot that they would like to root for him, but I also think there was a lot of frustration with, really, you didn't even at least try interview people. You didn't even try. Like, I think there were people that were like, and I think reasonably so.
But I don't think there's any.
I don't think there's no one
pining over Taylor Jenkins.
No, I mean, I think with Taylor, like, it clearly run its course.
It's run its course, right. So we don't know. And what's interesting is we spend a lot of time with Issa Lowe talking about the new offense, right?
Yep.
More screening, more, you know, we're gonna have Edie and Ja playing out, like, all of this. Where's Jaren gonna fit? Like, we know very little about what he wants to do defensively.
Yeah, totally.
And just his it will be his chance to put his stamp on things. And as I've said before, because people are wondering, well, why didn't he even do a search? And
or a press conference.
If it goes badly early, I think people will turn on him pretty early. So I think from just a PR perspective, it would be nice if they got off to a fast start, which doesn't line up with the state of the roster.
Yeah.
But by the way, my take on this is, if you know you think he's the answer, if you are the management and you know you think Issa Lowe is the answer, you're just incredibly impressed by him. You're impressed by the way he relates to the team. You're impressed by his strategic brain, all of that. I don't really see the point of doing interviews just for the sake of doing interviews, just so you can tell people you did interviews. If he's the guy you want to hire, go ahead, hire him. I have no problem with how they conducted it, given that they have a conviction about him. Now, they got to be right, you know, but to go through window dressing interviews, I don't really see the point of that.
So, I mean, I'm with you from a logical perspective. I do also acknowledge, I don't think it was unreasonable for fans to think, like, hey, you didn't at least want to talk to some people?
I don't think it's unreasonable to want that. I also don't think it's unreasonable to think, why would we talk to people when we
I mean, I guess the only thing I would say back to that is then just name him the head coach. Don't make him an interim. If you believe in all that, just make him the head coach.
Or let's have a press conference for him. If you believe in him so much, how about actually introducing him to people? You know, okay. So that is very clearly a prominent storyline. Give me another storyline from camp.
All right, maybe I'm reaching, but this is like what's on my mind, so I guess that's kind of how I'm thinking about it. What is the plan without Edie?
That's one of the storylines. Very clearly, what is the plan without Zach Edie? Because, you know, we don't really know about Jaron and when he will return. The hope is, honestly, that he will be back for the start of the season, which, by the way, could be another storyline. We'll put that aside for a moment.
But I would say to that, see if you agree with this. It feels to me like pretty high optimism for, hey, most people I've talked to, like, Jaron's going to be ready to go.
Okay, well, let's call that another storyline, right?
Yeah.
I do think, honestly, like, very quickly, one of the things that we will learn from camp is, where is Jaron? Do we expect him to be ready to go?
Yeah.
In terms of answers you can have on day one, that may be the most concrete thing we can get out of day one.
I think that's probably fair.
Right?
Because I don't think we don't have, other than Edie, which we know the timeline.
Jaron's health.
There's no one else that's.
Edie's health won't be certain enough because
right.
It's going to be
exactly.
Months away. Brandon's health, whatever. But the state of health, but in particular, Jaron's health, will he be ready? So we're going to call that storyline number two. Storyline number three is, I agree, what do you do until Edie returns? And Chris, and we'll talk to him again straight up at 10 o'clock, his theory is likely starter, Jock Landale.
I can buy that. You could also talk me into if Jaron is ready to go either close to the start of the season or whatnot. Like, you can talk me into the world of, hey, Jaron and Santi, like,
I think there's only really two options.
This is what the money's for.
Brandon Clark is not if he is healthy and ready to go, he may well be Jaron and Brandon as the closing lineup.
Yep.
But we have learned that they like Brandon Clark, given his career of fragility. It seems miscast as a starter, playing heavy minutes. It feels like Brandon Clark is going to be a guy coming off the bench, as he has traditionally been, and so
as
sure,
he admittedly likes.
Yeah, you can throw that out as a possibility, but it doesn't seem realistic. So there are really only two possibilities. One is Jaron at center, Santi at four, and the other is Jock Landale at center, and that seems to be the likely scenario. Honestly, among other things, it enables the team to look like it's going to look when
he comes back. I was going to say stylistic fit.
Yeah, it will be. He's just theoretically, he's sort of
correct.
A poor man's Zach Edey. And so you can do all the things with him. And that's why he is a better player than Jay Huff? Maybe, maybe not. But he is a better stylistic fit for what they want than Jay Huff. And so he's a better rebounder. He's a better screen setter. And so I think the likely scenario is Jock Landale will be the starter. But that's very clearly another of the storylines. So, storyline one is the Isolo era. Storyline two is Jaron's health. Storyline three is, what are they going to do for Zach Edie? You have another storyline or two for me? The two seem very obvious to me.
So I don't know how to phrase it, but just like,
how about we just phrase it this way?
Can Ja return to form?
How about we just...
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Ja is a storyline. Ja will always be a storyline. And not only that, he will be the most clicked, most read about storyline, the Ja threes. And it was funny because Chris actually mentioned that last year was supposed to be a Ja reset. Remember? I get up, he gets up, whatever it was. Remember that was the,
yep,
the slogan? And it was the, you know, the play on words. He does, in fact, get up. And then can he get up off? Can his career get up? Right. That was last year was supposed to be, okay, it's behind us now. Let's have a reset. As a reset, it was a mixed bag because he missed a whole bunch of games again.
Yeah, it's like one of those situations where the off-the-court reset worked.
Yeah, nothing bad happened.
Right.
Nothing bad happened, but he was not able to stay healthy. He was an intermittent presence in the lineup, and then in the playoffs, he got hurt again.
He was also very moody again. Remember, we rode the jaw wave.
Oh, yeah. There was a... And now he comes back after the trip to China with the Ja threes, which have been wildly successful. And will he be even in a better frame of mind? But in the end, frame of mind matters less than the state of his frame.
I totally agree.
You know, like
frame of mind matters, but what really matters is his health. And the problem is, that's an everyday thing. Like, whatever. He can look healthy on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. He can look healthy the first 10 games of the season. And then he goes up and he lands funny and the way, you know.
And away we go. Yep.
But Ja will be a storyline. I mean, there's no question. Like, Ja, one of the, I mean, look at the survey of NBA executives the other day when they were predicting, when they're saying who's the best American player and who's the best American player in 5 years. And let's be honest, it's a very uninspiring list.
Yeah.
I mean, Ant is on it and whatever. He seems, he's a star. And then it's Cooper Flagg. And then it's like Devin Booker. Like there's just like, Ja can still be the most transcendent American star.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so we up to four storylines. Give me a fifth storyline.
Cedric Coward?
I think it's got to be Cedric Coward.
I don't know if it's too much, but like...
No, we haven't seen him. We haven't really, you know, he's drafted. He barely played in college last year. He's drafted, can't play in summer league. And yet, what did they do? I mean, let's be honest. They got more for Desmond Bain than Cedric Coward. This was not a straight one. But like... He is like, okay, we reset, and we reset because the ceiling of these three, of Jaren, Ja, and Dez, we see where it is, and it's not high enough. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go get some players who help us reset the ceiling. And the one that we have on the roster right now, who is supposed to be better, ultimately, a better fit, able to lift the team to places that is Cedric Coward.
I mean, right? Like, that's the, they trade up in the draft. Like, this is one of the pieces that you've.
They rolled the dice.
Right.
They said, you know what they said? They're going to say, it's like you're on a game show and you've been offered right there. There's a Chevy Camry you have, right? There's a Chevy Camry. And they're offering you
Toyota.
Toy, whatever it is. They're offering you. And
thank you
said,
for not
know
making
what?
A Honda Passport.
I'm going to take what's behind door number two. Because whatever, it's a fine. Give me a Kia. It's a Kia Compact. Whatever that car is. You're expert on cars. This is not a Honda Passport we're talking about. It's a
Hyundai Sonata.
It's not a bad car, is it? I want something kind of inferior. Just a
Honda Civic.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. It's a Honda Civic. And you're like. No, I'm not going to settle for that. I want what's behind door number two, and behind door number two could be a washer and dryer.
Sure.
Or it could be
a
$50,000
really
a month
prize.
For the rest of my life. Yeah, some grand prize, $50,000 a month for the rest of my
a
life.
Publisher's clearinghouse.
Could be something fantastic, and I'm going to trade this solid plus thing I have, and that, you know who's behind door number two? Cedric Coward. He had some others. I actually think those are it. Those are, to me, the five storylines. He had some others, and they kind of, one of them was how's the perimeter going to shake out?
Right? Yeah.
He had different
fair.
Versions of this.
Yeah.
One, I do think this would be the next one, because what's going to happen exactly? He's still got Vince there. You realize Gigi's still the youngest player on this team?
Yeah.
Year three. You still got Gigi there. You still got Vince there. Now you got Scotty and you got Ty Jerome and you got, like, how is this all going to get Jalen? Well, like, how is this all going to work on the perimeter? What's it going to be like? It, weirdly enough, for the bigs, we've got like two choices. Like whatever. It's either going to be Jaren and Santi, or it's going to be Lansdale and Jaren. Like, it's two on the
Jock Landale.
On the perimeter, there's a million different choices how these players can be deployed and what will they become. So fascinating to think about how this will all unfold. I'm not sure people are ready for it, but we are here. Grizzlies start on Monday. All right, we got a million other things to talk about. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, if you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, it's the place that I would look. Hey, listen, it's where I told Claire to look. It's where I told her kids to look. And Claire went to the Bartlett location because she likes to sit down and look someone in the eye and set up an account. Our kids downloaded the app because they're, you know, in their 20s. And either way is the way to go. They also have an Arlington location as well. And I think you'll find what I found. People are just unbelievably nice. We were thinking about a new mortgage, and you could actually talk to a human being, incredibly helpful human being, go out of their way to help you. There's a level of service that is notable. But because it's a credit union, again, they put every dollar back into better rates, better service, a better technology. Check it out, whether you're looking for a car loan, a home loan, or whether you're just fed up with your bank, whether you want a new checking account. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Jeffrey, a couple things we need to get to, including baseball. Horrific collapse underway.
Continues.
Right now. Continues. But before I do that, I mentioned yesterday the Memphis Monopoly Board.
Yes.
There's now a new Memphis Monopoly Board, okay? And I can tell you some of the squares that are on the Monopoly Board. You got Elmwood Cemetery is one. Tom Lee Park is one. Really, it's what you might think. The Pink Palace, the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, Malco Theaters, Orpheum, Hollywood Feed is on there. Huey's, of course, is on there. Oak Hall, legendary store that it is there. The arcade restaurant, the Rendezvous, your favorite, Jeffrey. You would not buy a Memphis Monopoly game that didn't have the Rendezvous on it, would you?
Boycott it.
You would boycott it. Memphis Botanic Gardens.
I would shame people for buying it.
The zoo, but it's there. It's Rendezvous right there. Shelby Farms Park, Overton Park, Le Bonheur, St. Jude, of course, the University of Memphis, the National Civil Rights Museum, Big River Crossing, B.B. King Boulevard, Beale Street. And then they got jokes. Like, for example, if you got to go draw a card, right? If you get penalized for getting stuck on the right lane in Poplar.
Yep.
How do you feel about the right lane in Poplar? Is it overrated, the peril of being in the right lane on Poplar?
No. From basic, what are we saying? Basically from like...
Do you ever travel in it? Do you ever find yourself in the right lane of Poplar?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes you can go faster in the right lane of Poplar because only the strong survive over there.
I mean, I got a bigger car than you do.
Well, that's true. So why are you ever in the right lane of Poplar?
Because to get to my wife's or get to my daughter's daycare, I have to turn right off Poplar.
It's certainly an inside reference. Also, you pull a pothole card.
Sure.
You know, you get.
Of course.
So, but my question was, I have to say, it's been a while since I played Monopoly. Okay. And so the really high dollar are Park Place and Boardwalk.
Correct.
Isn't that it? Just
yep.
The two?
You nailed it.
So which are the two that are in the Park Place and Boardwalk? Because I'm looking at the board right now. Which are considered the highest rent of the
Civil Rights Memphis? Museum and the University of Memphis.
The Civil Rights Museum. I see. But and then there's something in between.
Correct. So that's where luxury tax would be.
Oh, it's a season ticket tax.
Correct.
And that's where luxury tax would be. And the University of Memphis. So the National Civil Rights Museum is...
Boardwalk.
Is Boardwalk.
Correct.
Which is appropriate, don't
yes.
you think?
Yeah.
I think that's right. And the University of Memphis is Park Place. Anyway, you can.
And like Beale Street is where the railroad would be. One of the railroads would be... I believe Shelby Farms is also a railroad.
Anyway, there you go. Christmas is coming. Something to get the Memphis, maybe the Memphis expat on your list, right? Like, that's something who, you know, whatever. They live in New York City.
Yeah. Instead of like sending them a picture of the skyline.
Yeah, but maybe they'd like some ribs from the rendezvous.
Right.
So, okay. The collapse. Oh, my God. Now the Guardians have taken off. Have moved.
They've completed the comeback.
But they are now in the lead. Now they were already technically in the lead because they were tied and they had the tiebreaker. Do you feel bad for the people of Detroit? I mean, what were you? It's not just that they were 15 and a half back.
Yes. So you and I were talking about this. It's not because everyone keeps using 15 games.
That was July, I think.
On August the 23rd, they were up 11 and a half games.
Oh my God.
They were up on September 3rd, 10 games.
Oh, my God.
They were up 9.5 games 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. That puts the Grizzlies' collapse in perspective,
right,
doesn't
it? Right. The Grizzlies did the biggest collapse of the year.
Oh, my God. We did have some great stuff, home runs last night, including Cal Raleigh 59 and 60.
I didn't see ESPN cutting into everything.
It's the anti-Seattle bias.
Oh, yeah, of course. Or maybe it's like the
pro-New York bias.
Just because you're a television executive and you're a Yankees fan doesn't mean we all are.
So there you go. They were the unsportsmanlike, the show before ours, they were giving, what's her name?
Michelle Smallman.
Yeah, thank you. They were giving Michelle Smallman grief because she pointed out that it's the only major league team that has not been to a World Series, Seattle.
Yes.
And says this is the year. And they were giving her grief for jinxing. Now, you may not be a fan, someone out there who believes in the power of the jinx one way or another. But even if you do believe in the power of the jinx, I don't think pointing out when you're not even connected to Seattle, Michelle Smallman's from St. Louis. When you're not even, I don't think that qualifies as a jinx.
Well, we have to know: does she have futures on Seattle, or does she have futures on somebody else to get there?
No, she's just.
We don't know. Do you know? You've seen her bet slips.
She shouldn't have bet slips. If you listen to that show, she's not a wagering person.
We never know what people do in the dark.
Okay. Anyway. And then in the meantime, we also had the Lane Kiffin documentary dropped.
Yes.
And you have seen it. I have not seen it.
Yeah.
I have to say, Lane Kiffin, it's quite a saga, right?
Yes.
It is quite a saga. Would you say, I mean, I know people don't like the word privilege, right? It gets thrown around too much, but he was sort of born with a silver football spoon in his mouth, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we have to agree with that, right? He was born on third base.
The most important thing in coaching is your last name.
Right, and that's not – it is because of the last name, but it's also because of the experiences you've had. He grew up – he's Monty Kiffin's son, for God's sakes. He was around football from the moment he was – you know, emerged from the womb. And so – and then he had – and then he had all the connections that you could possibly have and want. And he is a guy who failed up.
Yes.
Right? Multiple times, right? Like he has the Raiders job. He gets fired in a Al Davis just excoriates him, literally holds a press conference to expressly to explain how bad Lane was.
Correct. he had an overhead projector.
and then he gets the Tennessee job.
Correct.
And then from Tennessee, he immediately just gets the USC job.
Correct. But I also think that everybody glosses over part of the reason he gets the USC job is apparently everyone else in the coaching community was like,
we don't want it.
Why did Pete Carroll take the Seattle job?
Well, so that's the question. I want to get to the point that because I want to say, like, after all those experiences of having failed up, what he actually then had to go do was remake himself and succeed. Or it wouldn't. He would not. So I want to get to that part of the story in a moment. But the previous he has excuses for why he failed at each of the other places, right? And they're actually okay. Or why it didn't work out. The Raiders.
He didn't want to draft Jamarcus Russell.
He wanted Calvin Johnson. He didn't want Jamarcus Russell. That's the big one there. And then they were a dysfunctional mess under Al Davis. Tennessee, he didn't fail at Tennessee. He just got offered his dream job.
Correct.
Right. So,
and I mean, they had a top recruiting,
So it was on track. It was actually one of the reasons that it was painful that he left Tennessee.
Yes.
And then USC, it was, oh my God, what a mess. We thought we were just going to lose a few scholarships. We got absolutely
30 scholarships, 2 year bowl ban.
So there are reasons for each of those things to go badly. As you point out, of course, if he didn't know what was coming at USC, that's his own fault because everybody else seemed to.
Correct.
Right?
Because part of the reason why the USC kept getting turned down, and then he's at the winter meetings and USC's like, take it or leave it, you got like 24 hours.
One of the hilarious parts of the story is he's famously fired on the plane, right? Yep.
Well, fired in the whole thing of fired on the tarmac. So he told the story that Pat Hayden, after they get beat by Arizona State, they're on the plane flight back to LAX.
It's a great story.
Someone sends him a note
saying, I'd like to tell you, Pat wants to talk to you after the flight.
Correct. And so he's like, me being not a patient person, I was like, hey, Pat, what's up?
But so Pat he wanders instead of saying, wants to talk to you after the flight. He's like, well, I'll go just to go talk to him now.
Correct.
So he goes wandering up and Pat's asleep.
Pat's asleep, and he said he didn't do the math, but at the time, Pat's wife was, like, looking at him, and she's crying. And so they finally land in LAX, and he's like, listen, we got to go talk, and they went to a private room right off the tarmac of LAX, and he's like, I got to fire you. And he's like, well, you know, hey, man, like, it's 5 games into the season. We're 3-2. We're not 0-5. Like, can we talk through this? And he's like, someone else made the call. And he's like, I'll go try to make one last call and see if I can do this. And he came back and said it was over.
Is this story a little bit like the fired on the tarmac story? Is that told as a way of disparaging USC or disparaging Lane Kiffin?
I think Lane Kiffin.
The
irony is it's kind of like come back to, it's like USC now realize, like, when you look at the last 15 years of USC, it's like
a lot of this stuff now. Yes. So,
but I would also argue when Lane took the USC job, like that this was on the table.
That's the thing. This was on the table. So, but then, and what is truly admirable about Lane Kiffin is, and you hope this for all of us, is that, all right, you're confronted with, born with a silver spoon, you have all these opportunities and you fail. Like, and a lot of us will in different ways in different parts of our life fail. And so what happens then? And what happens then is two things. One is he goes to Florida Atlantic And I don't know if you've checked out Florida Atlantic. Everyone doesn't win there.
Nope.
And he does a terrific job at Florida Atlantic. And then he goes to Ole Miss, and he has done a terrific job.
Well, you left out the part that I would consider one of his resume lines. Uh-huh. He won a national championship with Jay Coker as his starting quarterback.
Well, that's true. That's true. The Nick stuff.
Yep.
He went
to the Nick. He's one of the first to. He's kind of the poster child of the Nick Saban
Nick
school for Kyle Wayward
Wash,
Boys.
Right. For Wayward Boys, and he did a great job there.
Yeah.
It wasn't just he was got the shine of Nick added to his resume. He did really
Correct.
Good things there, and then he goes to Ole Miss, and it's not just. And this is again, I haven't seen it. You've seen it. I've read a lot about it. Where he talks at the end of this, and this is sort of the new part, about how Oxford has changed him and Ole Miss has changed him. And I mean, it really is. It just feels like growth, right? I mean, doesn't it? Like, you tell me, what is the essence of the last 10 minutes and his reflections about Oxford and Ole Miss?
The impression is I needed Ole Miss more than Ole Miss needed me. I at first got here and thought, man, it's slow. And that was a problem. But now I start to realize, like, maybe this is a better way to live. The general theme of the ending is I found the place that suits me and it's the best for me.
And that's growth, right?
Yeah.
He's got his ex-wife has moved.
Correct.
To Oxford, right?
Layla has moved to Oxford. Landry is a student at Ole Miss. Knox is a sophomore, maybe. At Oxford, their middle child plays volleyball at USC.
Okay, so then the further question is you have this sweet story and finding the place that I needed, and you know I needed Ole Miss more than Ole Miss needed me.
Yeah.
All of that. I do recall Tommy Tuberville saying he would leave Ole Miss in a pine box.
Yeah,
and next thing I know, he was at Auburn. So what does this mean for Lane Kiffin? Because one of the things I was going to talk to you about today was how many jobs there will be,
yes.
How many Power 5 jobs openings there will be. I'm just going to go through some right now. So we already have Stanford, UCLA, Virginia Tech, and Oklahoma State, right?
Yes.
I don't think any of those would tempt Lane.
No.
But we have four already, right?
Correct.
We got four, just with the framework. Florida's going to open.
Yes.
Right? So that's five, okay? And Florida might tempt Lane. Then I was looking at over at the Athletic. They characterize between there's not looking good and not out of the weeds. And not looking good,
Wisconsin,
Arkansas, Cal, and Northwestern. You down with those four?
I would. Cal is complicated because of the power dynamics there. But they had a bad loss this weekend. But so far they've exceeded expectations.
So we only want to put three in the not looking good?
Yeah,
anyone else?
The other ones.
Anyone else you want to put in the not looking good?
I'm cool with those. I would say
so
that's too strong on Cal.
Eight not looking good, okay? And so that's probably eight openings.
Yeah. Right?
That's probably going to be eight openings. Only one of those would appeal, you would think, to
yes.
Lane Kiffin, right? And then the not out of the weeds.
I would argue only one of those could get Lane Kiffin.
Right.
Right.
And so not out of the weeds, though, you then have, I think we can put Cal in this category.
Yeah,
then,
yeah, right? No, I'm fine with that.
Cal there. I don't know why. It seems to me like Oklahoma is out of the weeds. This list was Oklahoma, Baylor, Virginia, Cincinnati, Maryland, Auburn, Kentucky.
So the only thing I would say, because
isn't Oklahoma now because of the injury?
Well, I was going to ask whether or not that kind of gives him some grace. The problem with Oklahoma was always going to be look at the back half of the schedule.
But doesn't the injury, to bring this back to our Monopoly game, isn't that a get-out-of-jail-free card?
Okay, but what if, like, let's say, okay, he gets a free pass for losing to Texas because Mateer doesn't play. And let's say even Mateer doesn't play against South Carolina and they lose. But then what if Mateer does play and they lose like four or five?
Here's the other thing. I think they're good enough not to get, like, they're going to split those games. Their defense is salty enough. They're not going to fall apart if Mateer plays.
Michael Hawkins is really bad.
No, if Mateer plays, they're going to win half those games.
Agree. But what if, yeah, I mean, here's
and if
the
Hawkins
thing,
plays and is really bad, that's then you get the jet out of jail.
Okay, but what if Mateer gets hurt again?
Well, okay. How about any others? Baylor, Virginia, Cincinnati, Maryland. Hasn't Maryland saved him? Hasn't
so
he saved
his quarterback?
Job?
His I would think he's going to be in a similar spot to where Napier was at the end of last year. His quarterback is so exciting, and he's also a local guy. The quarterback's so exciting. If he can tie himself to the quarterback, hey, as long as I'm staying, he's staying, I think he'll be fine.
How do you feel about Auburn and Kentucky? By the way, I don't see any reason why Lane would go to either of those places. It used to be when Tuberville left Ole Miss to go to Auburn,
yeah,
they were very different jobs.
Correct. I mean,
I don't know that they are now.
So, I mean, he's had the Auburn offer.
Right.
And he didn't go.
And he didn't
now,
go.
I think he was going, and then he changed his mind. But I do think he was going. So, I'm good with Baylor. I think all of those are fair. Yeah. And the thing with Auburn is, I think Auburn's a much better football team. But, like, last week you have the devastating loss. Like, I think they can, honestly, here's a preview for Friday. Like, I think they can turn around and go and win in College Station. But I've also seen Hugh Freeze teams get up for a really big game, get their hearts broken, and then they don't play well the next week. But if Auburn gets into this spot where, okay, you lose at A&M, Georgia comes to town next week, all of a sudden you spend all this money and you're basically not even a playoff team, like how many opportunities are there to right the wrong? They still would go to Vanderbilt. Like there are other games that they could lose. But like as of right now, I think he's good because I actually think the team's good. But there are, like, if he gets into a bunch of one-score games, he's not a good one-score coach.
All right, it was good. It was good to see. It's nice to see.
To your last point, I guess the one thing that I was, because a lot of it before it's history, and if you're just someone that enjoys like reliving like all that, right. Like that's fascinating. But it wasn't really anything new. The question I had at the end is this sincere or is this image reshaping to go get something else?
Does he need that image reshaping? Here's the truth, is that if I were in his position and I wanted the Florida job,
yeah,
I would not have done this documentary where I say I found my home in Ole Miss.
Buy that.
You know what I mean? I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. It's embarrassing. You know, like that's a little bit saying the pine box thing. Yeah, this is why I love it. This is why I'm at home. Boom. And I do that. And then I'm – so if I know
– But if you're Florida, you sit there and go –
If I know that I'm Florida bound, I wouldn't do that. It makes me look scummy. And I don't think I need that documentary to get the Florida job.
The only thing I'd push back on that is I think you got to remember some of the people at Florida are very like sniff their own farts. And like you need to see like I can see where it would appeal to them. And then what would really appeal to them is he found his forever home, but the only place that could get him out of there was Florida.
Did you see that Rudy Gay said that if he had been healthy in 2013, that's when the Grizzlies went to the
Western Conference Finals,
that they would have beat the Heat.
So I've always thought I've always thought the missed opportunity was 2011.
Right. It's just kind of a crazy thing to say, honestly. Like, there's an argument that they were better because he was not healthy, because it properly oriented the team. You can say it. Rudy Gay Dwayne Wade responded to this. He said, so I DM it to Rudy. Hey, Rudy, this must be an AI-generated quote because it ain't no way in hell you said this, Wade said. So he hit me back, and he said, yeah, you know me. I said it. You got to have confidence. So I left him at that. Then I seen him at Mello's at the after party. I said, hey, man, what's wrong with you? You're not going to win a finals just because you want to win a finals. We had just been in the finals 4 years in a row. We smacking you all. You don't know how to win a finals, bro. You think it's that easy? People really think it's easy, and that's the thing with me when it comes to winning. It's like, yo, stop. No, it's not for everybody. It has nothing to do with your individual talent and how great you are. Everything has to be right for you to win. Every break got to go your way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, it's fine. It's fine. To me, it's an interesting window on, listen, I get that every athlete has to be confident.
Sure.
They have to believe that they would be the difference, et cetera. It is an interesting window on Rudy and how he thinks about and must think about his time and the way it ended at
sure.
Memphis. And that he is, I mean, we've seen it as all these other the core four members get their numbers retired. Rudy, God bless him, he shows up and he celebrates his teammates. But he must feel like not only was he unappreciated, but had he not gotten hurt, he would have been the difference. And I do think we are all, maybe in our small way, self-deluded. You know,
I think Penny thinks like that. Things.
Penny thinks like that about
the knee.
Oh, I think, well, but if Penny is thinking that if my knee hadn't blown out, I would have been a Hall of Famer. And
yeah,
I think that's not delusional.
There was more proof of concept.
I think.
Yeah.
For Penny to think if I hadn't gotten hurt, incredible things would have happened in my career, I think is not delusional. For Rudy to think if I hadn't gotten hurt, a team that got swept by the Spurs, and the Spurs then went on to lose to the Heat, by the way, that they would have beaten the Heat, that is delusional.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I'd push back on Dwayne Wade is at that point you had not been to four straight finals. You'd been to two straight. And right. you were 1-1.
That is true. He is misremembering.
Correct. I think the Rudy argument that I think is more interesting is 2011.
Yeah, but 2011, I think
if they beat the Thunder, they were going to be, they've matched up really well with the Mavs.
All right, well, you're going to take a break. We'll talk to Chris Harrington. He's got a piece up about the storylines to look forward to next week when Grizzlies camp begins. We're also going to play Writer Then Write Trivia. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.